Turn your Bibles back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We read in Luke, chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. We want to speak about the good part. If you are alert enough, and if you are a biblical-oriented person, you would be able to make the connection between this message and this morning's message. You will have your questions answered. If you were listening this morning, you would be able to pick up this message and make the link between this morning's message, if you are a student of God's word. If you're not, you wouldn't understand where I'm coming from or where the scripture is coming from. The Bible is very consistent, and it repeats itself in different forms, and it confirms the message of the servant of God who is bringing the message. And here we find in this gospel, it's the only gospel that records this incident with Mary and Martha. John's gospel has included this family in the life and ministry of Jesus many times. And judging from what we read in these accounts, this family was very close to the Lord Jesus, who often resorted at their home. It's very interesting that Luke's narrative makes particular reference to two, Martha and Mary. Luke 10 began with two. Jesus sent out 70 in pairs of twos. This is significant because the church is always typified by two. And here your conscience should be pricked right away. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Therefore, the message that is about to unfold before us has bearing on us here this evening. No matter how few we are, the message relates to the gathered people of God. It is striking to note that whenever we gather, there are different interests in the congregation. Though we sit in the presence of the Lord Jesus, varied interests prevail. And here Jesus commends one and mildly rebukes the other. And you should pay attention. Maybe you might be commended, maybe you might be rebuked tonight from the word of God. It is quite amazing to see that though our Lord is an invited guest in the home of these two, he is in no way reluctant to speak in favor of one and not the other. You and I would have thought twice before saying a word against the hosts that invited you to their home. You would be bashful to tell them the truth about the gospel, not our Lord and our Savior. He is ever speaking the truth. Jesus never ceases to be the authority and is ever ready to bring his word to us. And we should be ever ready to hear his word. What are some of the important lessons for us this hour? The first thing we bring to your attention is the Lord's presence in the home. We read in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." No doubt this certain village is Bethany, the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Some make a link between this account and what we read in John 12, verses 1 and 2. There we read in John 12, 1 and 2, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Here you may have a broader insight, but we cannot be certain about the two incidents, because John says that this incident was 6 days before the Passover, just before Jesus was crucified, where Mary anointed the feet of Jesus. Luke doesn't mention anything about the Passover, so we are left to speculate. Could be another visit, could be the same visit, but you tell me. But what we see in the context is that Jesus is present in the house. And because he is in the house, it is time to worship him and to give him attention. This is what we can gather. It's a remarkable thing for Jesus to appear in the house of a family. It shows that our Lord was not aloof. He was not antisocial. I often wonder, brethren, if the Lord would be a welcome guest in your house. I often wonder. You hear me make jokes sometimes, but I'm serious. Sometimes you go to people's house and they keep you at the door. Wait a minute. And they're trying to sort out things before they can say, okay, come in. I hope this is not so with you. You have to push the bottles and the tapes and the CDs and the books and everything out of sight. No wonder a pastor really get visits to people's house. I mean, Jesus, but he represents him. And that's why pastors are such lonely people. The people in the church. Somebody to keep in the pulpit. Yeah, you stay there. You're good up there. But you're not good in my house. And this is how some people see ministering servants. But my question is, would he be a welcome guest in our homes of some professing Christians who attend church? Or is the sitcoms the centerpiece of your homes? Here we find a good moral lesson that we ought to be ever ready to welcome the presence of our Lord and our Savior. But let me move on to the second point, having shown you the presence of Jesus in the house. Let me show you the posture of Mary. The context implies that Martha was the owner of the house. She may have been the senior sister. Martha is always the most talkative of the two. She was the one that made the confession in John 11. She is the one that says, I know that he should rise in the resurrection. Martha was not a non-spiritual person. This is not the issue of the message. And it is not our business to be concerned who is saved and who is not saved in the context. Our business is the message out of the context. But here in verse 39, we see the posture of Mary. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Well, you should pay attention to this. This is a very good thought for you and me to consider. What is our posture in the presence of the Lord? The question should be, what should be our posture? It should be as Mary. To sit at someone's feet is a figure of speech to show that there are students of Jesus. Remember, Paul was brought up under the feet of Gamaliel. You remember the prophet sat at Elijah's feet. They were students. They are there with an attitude to learn of Christ. We can be in the presence of the Lord and not have this posture. We can have a posture of sleep and tiredness. It stems from burning out our bodies instead of preparing them for worship and devotion. Tiredness, lateness, these things, you should consider them. Mary's posture is similar to a next woman we read about in Acts 16:11, who we're told that a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Well, Paul is a man, but he's speaking the word of God, and thus the one listening attended to the word of God. A lot of people are not this way. Whenever we read of Mary, she always exhibits this same posture. Remember what we read of her in John 11, verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died." We can take a lesson from Mary. In John 12, 3, we read the same posture where Mary found herself at the feet of Jesus, anointing him with oil, perfume. We come to our third point of reference from the context, showing you the presence of the Lord Jesus in the home. We also just show you the posture of Mary. And let's look at the third thing, the preoccupation of Martha. The preoccupation of Martha. We read a word that shows a contrast, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord," now she addressed him properly, "dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." You can see here a control freak. How you can come to the Lord with this request? Bid her that she come and help me. You don't tell the Lord that. The word "but" denotes a sharp contrast to Mary's posture. Martha was preoccupied with being the host. She had her priorities out of joint. As I was saying this morning, it was really a dishonor to her Lord who was speaking. Martha appears to be out of line. What she is requesting Jesus to do is contrary to the will of God. You're supposed to worship the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, you serve him. There's a time for that. She had her priorities wrong. Brethren, at times some people don't have a problem with being a distraction, but they inadvertently want to distract others also from hearing the gospel. We have a good way of distracting other people from hearing the gospel. And this is a powerful lesson here. Who is the authority in this room at this hour? Is it Martha or is it Jesus? Though he is in their home, who is the authority here in the house? Martha seems to be out of line, but our Lord is very patient with her. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This means that Jesus was speaking. And any time our Lord speaks, what he is speaking is the word of God. But Martha was not hearing. She was not listening. She was busy serving. She was busy talking. She was busy praying, beseeching the Lord. It's a time for everything. My friend, this is also how it is with some of us here this evening. Ponder these things carefully. We are here, but we can be here and out of touch with God's word and out of touch with God, period. We can be here and be out of touch. It happens to me sometimes. I would like us to consider for a moment, I would like to consider the principles in this account, because there's a message here for us today. We would not look at the principles in the order of the context, but we would look at them randomly. First, we entitle them the principles. First is A, the encumbered. This morning I speak about being encumbered or encumbrances. Here is one of the encumbered. Martha is one of the principles, and the text characterizes her encumbrances with two superlatives. Let's look at them. We first read, Martha was cumbered about much serving. Not a little serving, much serving. Luke describes her distraction as much serving. Serving is not bad, but at times serving is secondary. You hear what I said? Serving is not bad in any form, whether it is people, whether it is even the Lord, whether it is ourselves. Serving is not bad, but serving is secondary to a Christian. So you need to ponder that this evening as we look at the encumbered. The other word that Luke brings to attention came from the mouth of the Lord in verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. See the superlatives? Much, many. Here you have the two words, much, many. You and I can have much in our way. We can have many things in the way of the Lord. You should pay attention to this word tonight. It is a sequel of what I was sharing this morning. We will always find many things in this life to draw our attention away from the Lord and his people. We will find them. We're clever enough. Oh, yes, we may throw a hurried prayer at the Lord sometimes, or a few minutes of Bible reading to soothe our consciences, but we never give him any quality time. We don't have it. There are always many things. We need to stop it. We need to stop making excuses with these hurried prayers and with these 10-minute bits in the Bible to soothe our consciences. We need to give God our time. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, as I said, characterizes the thorns, as I mentioned this morning, as the cares of this world that choke the word. So if you followed me this morning, here is your application on the pages of God's word tonight. Could it be that you are like the first principle, one with many distractions from fellowship, with much distraction and encumbrances from worship, one with much to do, but little honor and attention is given to the Lord? Let's observe principle number two. Having looked at the encumbered in Elmira, let's look at the engaged. I don't mean the one with the ring on the finger. I mean the one with the engaged mind. Mary is engaged. The Bible says very little about her. Engage in action. That's verse 39, part B. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's all it said about her. That's all that is needed to be said about her. God doesn't have a lot to say about people who are faithful. He has a lot to say about people who are unfaithful in the church. What more can we ask of Mary? What better place can she be? You may be surprised that in the crowded house of worshipers, few leave the house of worship grasping anything from the word of God. There are two ways one can hear. One can hear a vocal song coming from a speaker, but one can hear with the intent to follow. Mary heard in all two ways. How I know? Each time you read about her, she's the same place. I am sure that Martha heard, but she was not moved to correction. It's like some people in the church. They hear, but they never move to change. As a matter of fact, Martha was more hostile than ever in the presence of the Savior. The Lord said back in Luke 8:18, take heed how you hear, for whosoever have, to him shall be given, and whosoever have not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. This is an indictment. Even the little ability that you think you have may be taken away from you. The best thing to be engaged in is God's word. When we sing with the understanding, are we engaged? Were you engaged with the songs that we, the hymns we sung tonight? Let me just read one to you. Would you be able to make the connection with the hymns that you sing? Blessed Jesus, at thy word, we are gathered all to hear thee. Let our hearts and souls be stirred now to speak and love and fear thee. By thy teaching sweet and holy, drawn from earth to love thee solely. Did you think of those words? I chose them because they match the message. We sing with the understanding. We listen with the understanding. We connect to him. Oh, we just sang that. How do you worship God? Friends, brethren, let us be one who is ever engaged. When we follow with the mind the word of God, we are engaged. When we sing with the understanding of what we are singing, we are engaged in the word of God. This, by definition, is worship. Take a book up and see what worship is. Where is your mind in the setting of worship? Our bodies can be present like Martha's, but our minds can be in distant land when we come to hear God's word. So in opening up this text a bit, I've shown you these thoughts of consideration. One, the encumbered one. Not very hard to figure that one out. Two, the engaged. But lastly, the exhortation from the Lord. The Bible says that Mary sat and heard Jesus' word. That's all it say. It didn't say she sat and hear him talking. She heard very deliberately. Luke puts it like that. She heard his word. Because whenever Jesus speaks, he speaks the word. And whenever the message of the gospel is preached, I am bringing God's word. Not my own word. I wish I could, but God would allow me to. The word has multiple purposes. The word of God is profitable for training in righteousness. What Mary heard was encouragement. The word of God rebukes. What Martha heard was a rebuke. Mary had chosen the good part. What Mary heard was an exhortation. Jesus answered and said unto her, not to Mary, to her. Preaching is personal. Martha, Martha, write your name there. You are careful, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary have chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. People say, I hate when you compare me with other people. Don't do it. Well, you need to be compared with other people at times. Jesus did it. Don't tell me, oh, don't compare me with him. I hate when you try to compare me. Well, if he's a standard and a proper standard, that's what you ought to do. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Would to God that we can say this, brethren. Each person gets what they need when they sit around the gospel. Some never would get encouragement because they need to be exhorted to choose the good part. And you may wonder, how come every time I come to church, I am never encouraged? I am always exhorted. I am always bombarded by that preacher. Well, maybe that's because that's what you need. I'm encouraged. I like when I go to and people preach and it hit me. I'm encouraged to change. Brethren, each person gets what they need. Obviously, if Martha did not had the good part, what part she had chosen. If Martha didn't have the good part and Mary had the good part, well, Martha had the bad part or the wrong part. What part are you choosing every day? God give people what they deserve. God will always give people what he know they like. Just like he gave the people in the wilderness the meat come through their ears. So you need to pray. That's what you need to do. Pray. You have not because you ask not. Brethren, the exhortation given. Our Lord is in the house, but he never stopped being the Lord. Some of us don't ever want to hear corrective words at all. Jesus called her by name. And whenever Jesus called your name twice, watch out. Martha, Martha. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Whenever Jesus, Simon, son of Jonas, anytime the Lord calls us twice, serious? Listen, listen up. He's zeroing in on you. Something is wrong. Twice. Jesus never stopped being the Lord. Jesus called this woman graciously to pay attention. Many don't want to be called out for what they're doing wrong. I ain't calling nobody's name. But maybe your name is being called out tonight. You should know. Have you noticed that much attention is given to Martha and not much attention is given to Mary in the context? Have you noticed that? Why? She was the one who received Jesus in her house. She was cumbered with much serving. She approached the Lord to speak about her sister. She was doing all of these things. You and I could be like this. At times, those who seem most active may not be the ones closest to the Lord Jesus at all. Sometimes those who seem most vocal may not be the ones most valuable to the church. Talking, 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 talking. Be careful, some of you got a lot of mouth in the church. Not valuable spiritually. Jesus answered, "Oh, how we should love the Lord Jesus. Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled, anxious about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." Let me ask you, what is that one thing that is needed in your life? Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Yes, I know that some of us are about many things in this life, about much things. But what is that one thing that is lacking? You should know. The Lord is telling you tonight. Brethren, may I say that this incident ought to be brought to bear upon many here this hour, because one can be in a similar setting with the Lord and don't have the good part. I pray that I have the good part. It cannot be taken away. One can be in the presence of the Lord and yet consumed with many things that have no relevance at all. Oh, yes, there may be some temporary blessings. They have no eternal relevance. Everything we are and everything we strive for in this life will be taken away at some point. I'm going to look for Violet Sunday night. 6 hours later, I got a phone call. She was dead. 4 o'clock in the morning. I spoke about it at church. I never see anybody in a box with a mobile phone with WhatsApp. Yeah, I told them that. Or I never see them with a daughter or a daughter-in-law down there with them. Each man faces God for himself. We better have the good part, because all other parts will be taken away from us. Be serious. We better wise up. Everything we are, yes, everything we are, will be taken away from us. The Lord ought to be our portion, as David said. However, we, you and I, must not simply limit the Lord's presence to our times at church and worship. He is ever present in our house. Martha invited him. You say you invited him in the house. Haven't you said that when you were baptized? Haven't you said that when you confess that you have invited Jesus in your house? How come you're not giving him the good part? How come you're complaining about somebody else? How come you're so busy running all around here, there, and everywhere? How come? I want to know. I'm not even only talking about the church. He is ever present in our daily activities. He is ever present with us. What place do he have? He's ever present with us. Even when we go to Florida, life can be very busy, brethren. And we can think that a few minutes a week is all the Lord is worth. I grieve for some of our people at City View. At times when you go away, you get a break from worrying about people that you are ministering to. But you go to the frying pan in the fire, because the same problems that are here exist there. The only difference is those people are less fortunate. They have not heard what you have heard. And that's why I go. Because the more they get, the more accountable they are. The little that you have may be taken away from you. Be careful. Life can be very busy for some of us. Let us not limit our encumbrances to mere distractions from worship. But there are other distractions from communion with God and the people of God. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. The good part is Jesus. May the Lord bless you. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the open book. We pray that hearts will be receptive to your holy word. Lord, as we speak, we also speak of ourselves. Many times we have allowed the world and the things in the world to rob us of that good part. May you help us to understand that the good part is the Lord Jesus himself. And may we ever seek to honor, worship, love, and adore him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.